Holy Spirit, please may you give us hearts to hear your word today. In the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Well, it's after election day, and there's a lot of sort of diagnosis, I guess, after a game, a football game. The both teams kind of analyse, either in the heat of victory or the gloom of loss, what happened. And so I guess it's in that mindset, that positive mindset of analysing what's going on, that I want you to have today. So the nation's thinking that, what's going on? And I want us today, appropriately on our AGM, to be thinking, what's going on? And I think Galatians chapter 5 will guide us in that. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. I feel like a hippie saying this, but we're all plants. St. George's is like a garden, and with plants, all shapes and sizes growing in it. Some parts of the garden are flourishing. The soil's good. The sunlight pours down. Other plants are small. Some plants are struggling with thorns and thistles. Some parts of the garden are overgrown and covered in ivy. Some plants just need a little bit of nourishment, a little bit of pruning, and they'll grow up big and tall, bearing much fruit. Today, the book of Galatians says, you are a plant. Today you might be here as someone who's interested, but not yet a Christian. And in a sense, this sermon's directed at Christians, but it's a great opportunity if you're here interested in Christianity for you to wander through the garden and see, what is it like? What is life as a Christian like? As I speak to the Christians today in Galatians. Now this passage is asking two important questions that are in your newsletter. How do we grow? How do we look? How do we grow and how do we look? How do we grow? If we're plants, we grow, but how? There's this long pattern in the scripture of Israel, the people of God, being likened to a plant, to a vine. And God sometimes pruning them back, and sometimes bearing fruit. Not only that, Jesus loves this idea of people being plants. Just in your newsletter there, turn back just over the page to the beginning of the reading, the parable of the sower. And there Jesus is describing people as plants. Look how Jesus says sometimes the seed falls on rocky ground. And then sometimes it falls on shallow soil. And sometimes it's choked by thorns. Now just turn over the page to verse 20 there, where Jesus explains the parable. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. That's why describing our church like a garden of plants is such a great metaphor. We're different plants at different stages of growth, producing fruit. Now turn back to Galatians there, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, right? Almost the end of that Galatians passage. If we're plants, and we're Christians, we've got seed, we've accepted the gospel, we're growing, how do we continue to grow? Look at verse 25 of Galatians 5. Verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. You think about how a plant grows. So a plant grows towards the sunlight. Its stem twists to the light source, wherever that light source is. And verse 25 says, let's keep in step with the Spirit. That's how we grow. We grow towards the light source. We grow towards where God is pointing us. And where is God pointing us? The fruit of the Spirit. And so we grow towards that by the power of the Spirit. But that's how we grow. I want to spend a bit of time on how we look. Because that's how we grow, by the power of the Spirit, towards the fruit of the Spirit. How do we look? But before that, I just want to give a little bit of insight. I just want to pull back the curtain of the sermon for a moment, in a sense. And I just want to point out here something quite interesting, and the reason that I'm pushing this idea of growing as plants. If you compare, taking up the Galatians reading again, if you compare verse 19 with verse 22, note the difference there. Note that Paul describes the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. It's quite significant that Paul isn't talking about, he's not talking about bad and good fruit. Isn't that interesting that he's actually saying, he's comparing works. So, works and fruit. So he's describing, if you're a Christian, being a Christian and growing as a Christian is something organic and growing. If you're not a Christian, it's something that you do. Note that difference there. And that's that. This is the difference that I think drives the whole book of Galatians. This difference between if you, your life before a Christian and your life as a Christian. And I think it's really significant that in the book of Galatians, Paul uses this language of, to describe Christians, of growth and growing. This organic language. I wanted to just show you what's motivating the direction of this sermon. But back to the second question, how do we look? That's how we grow, guided by the Spirit, reading the Bible and praying. But how do we look? If I may change metaphors for a moment to describe how we look. If I explain how we grow, if I may change metaphors and how we look. Because it's important to apply this fruit of the Spirit. The way I want to apply it is through a different metaphor. So verses 22 and 23 describe the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to use this metaphor to apply it to our lives. We'll use the story of Dorian Gray. I want to hold up a mirror to us personally, to us as a congregation. In the story of Dorian Gray, the story is a short story by Oscar Wilde, sorry, a novel by Oscar Wilde, his only novel. He describes a man of a good-looking man. He's intelligent and wealthy, and he has a painting commissioned of himself. And something happens when he's painted in that the painting sort of takes on a power of its own. And as Dorian lives, to cut the story down, as he lives a hedonistic life, he retains his beauty, his strength, his intelligence, his eloquence, and the painting slowly decays. It's as though every hedonistic experience, every evil deed that he does, isn't taken on himself, but appears on the painting. To the extent that he has to take the painting off the wall and cover it up, because the painting starts to become grotesque, and he covers up the painting and he has to hide it in his attic. So let me read to you a quote from the story. His unreal and selfish love would yield to some higher influence and would be transformed into some nobler passion. And the portrait that Basil Hallward, that's the artist that had painted his portrait, had painted of him, Dorian Gray, would be a guide to him through life, would be to him that holiness to some and conscience to others. There were opiates for remorse, drugs that would lull the moral sense to sleep. But here, in this portrait, was a visible symbol of the degradation of sin. Here was an ever-present sign of the ruin men brought upon their souls. And I don't want to give away the end of the story and what happens with this portrait. There's quite a thrilling and exciting denouement, I can't say that word, where the climax comes together. But what a powerful image. And maybe instead of a painting, what if it was a mirror that I held up to us? To myself, to us, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at verse 22. Love, joy, peace. Note how Paul mentions the big ones first, the summative virtues. And then he mentions social virtues, patience, kindness, goodness. And then he moves to personal virtues, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In a sense, I'm holding up this mirror. Australia is holding up a mirror to itself and saying, what have we decided? And at this AGM, who are we as a church, as St. George's? Love, joy, peace. What motivates us? How do we express ourselves as a church? How do we feel? What's the mood like at St. George's on a Sunday morning? What's the mood like among the people of St. George's in their ministries and their Bible studies? Let's hold up that mirror. What motivates us? Why do we meet together? True love comes from God. As a church, how are we sharing God's true love for the people of Battery Point, for the people of Hobart? How can we make each of our ministries reflect this greater purpose? Are we joyful? Joyful for the salvation that Jesus brings? Are we at peace with one another? What's the mood of St. George's? Does it reflect love, joy, peace? And then patience, kindness, and goodness. And moving from the big picture of how we as a community look, the Apostle Paul narrows the focus. It's as though we step closer to the mirror. Patience, kindness, goodness. It's almost, they're like the sociological fruit of the Spirit. You need other people to be patient with. It's you're holding up the mirror and it's what happens between us. It's that sort of, the web between us is what the Apostle Paul is describing. What does it look like when we hold up the mirror? What does it look like as we rub shoulders over morning tea, in ministries, at the AGM, during the service? What does it look like when we see each other on bad days, facing common challenges? Here at St. George's, different people struggle with different things. For example, I struggle to pronounce words correctly. Some of us struggle to hear or see clearly. Others don't have enough money. Some of us are embarrassed about either not knowing enough about the Bible, or maybe embarrassed about our family situations. But being patient, kind and good is about, if necessary, repeating yourself. Maybe donating something to cover somebody else. Explaining something using clearer words. Putting up with things you've heard already for the sake of others. Patience, kindness, goodness. It isn't about how we feel. It's about our interactions with each other. When we hold up the mirror, what do we see going on between us? Finally, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is God's love expressed personally when you're alone. When you're with your family or spouse, they'll be expressed differently in different contexts. And it might be good as a whole to ask about St. George's, but it's also good to ask about our interactions. But I want to hold up the mirror as we step very close and look at ourselves. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's about you and I. About the difficulties you and I face as individuals. Being faithful in our marriages and relationships. Are we self-controlled with our addictions? Are we gentle with our children, spouses, families? It's holding up that mirror and looking closely at ourselves. And let me conclude with verse 22. Let's focus back on verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Notice the language the Apostle Paul is using. He doesn't say, show God's love by standing really still like a statue. It's growing language. It's organic language. He uses the living language of plants. He says you're either tearing yourself apart with the works of the flesh, like Dorian Gray from that story, or growing by the power of God towards the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Although our individual situations might be different, if you love the Lord Jesus, when I hold up the mirror, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we'll see. Jesus hasn't saved us just to kind of throw us away. He's given us the Holy Spirit to grow us like plants. When Jesus says, and talks about the harvest, this is our harvest. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's not a nice standard for someone else or a political slogan. It's how we look in the mirror. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us. Thank you for being the sap that lets us grow and the direction to which we grow towards. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for us and empowering us to live as your servants and followers by the Holy Spirit. We ask that you will perfect us and glorify us on that final day when you return. In Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a principle in psychology that we tend to become what we focus upon. We become positive. And just as the plant grows towards the sun, if our focus is on the Son of God, we will grow to be like Him. Means we will then bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, which is maturing with us. And in response to what we've shared, we should find